Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. This is Apostle Crystal Lee. It is Faith for Family. It's Friday night, and I'm excited to be here with you. Tonight, we're in our series still about that life. And listen, tonight's topic is sex in context. This is an important subject, so I want you to take just a few moments to invite somebody you know and love. It is Faith for Family tonight, and I am on granny duty. So my co-host is the illustrious prophetess, Sophia, and so tonight we're on live, and so if you hear a little bit of noise in the background, it is Faith for Family, so you'll be all right. We're going to talk to you tonight and give you some good wisdom on Relationships 101. So we're going to pace the race tonight. We're going to share some things with you about how to pace your race. Come on back with me in about 1 minute. Go ahead and invite somebody on the broadcast. Tell them to invite somebody, Sophia. Say, invite somebody. It's going to be amazing tonight. Invite somebody. I'll look for you in a few moments. Are you ready tonight again, Faith for Family? This is Apostle Crystal Lee. I hope you invited somebody because this is going to be absolutely amazing. We're going to talk tonight about sex in context. Absolutely. I'm your sex talk apostle, and I have no problem sharing the things that the Lord has given to me to share with you because I really want to see you thrive. I really want to see you prosper in every area of your life. So get your Bible out and let's get ready to go through this process. We want to talk about the pace of your race. This is Relating 101, and it's very invaluable. My youngest son and I have this joke. He's always talking to me about he's a virgin, and I'm always laughing about that. And he might be, I don't know, maybe I missed something in life. He might be a virgin, but it's the funniest thing in the world to me, even when he talks about it, because he knows I have a whole lot to say about that subject, but he never really will push that button to let me really say what I want to say to him. But he knows this conversation is soon to arrive, but we're going to put it off as long as we can. Right, son? Anyway, I knew it was a lie, so I knew eventually I'd get the absolute truth out of him. Close that door, son, so I could talk to these people tonight, these wonderful people. God bless you. You telling everybody hi tonight? Say hi. Okay. God bless you, everybody. I'm honoring my mother tonight. The hi. Overseer is missing in action, but we're going to get her back here in the fall. And so we're excited for that. She would be closing her ears or plugging her ears up or getting offline or something just based on this title tonight. But we're going to make her tough. We're going to get her back on here in sometime in October, if not this month. Love you guys. And you're going to let Granny talk, okay? Can Granny talk? Okay, amen. So let's jump on into this. We only have a few minutes. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. We're going to start out here. And before we start out, I want to just say a quick prayer because we don't want to go through this passage or through this place without prayer tonight. Father, we thank you tonight for what you have allowed us to be. You've allowed us to be here tonight together. You've allowed us this time and this space, a day that we've never seen before, new mercies. God, your love has been amazing. And so we're just thankful for your word tonight and for how it directs us, for how it protects us tonight. And so release your word to us in a way that revelation comes, that we can go in another direction. If we're missing it, cause us to get on the mark tonight in the name of the Lord. We thank you tonight and we love you. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. Let's go here. I'm going to try to get through here. I got some notes written down or jotted down to try to keep me on task because this is a heavy subject. And we want to talk about this. We might talk about this for a couple of weeks, but I might get through it tonight. The Bible declares in Ecclesiastes 3, 1, you're very familiar passage. I'm not going to read the entire thing. I just want to take that a part of that verse tonight as we prepare to go in this direction. The Bible declares in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1a, to everything there is a season. Are you hearing me? To everything there is a season. Again, what's our topic for tonight? Our topic for tonight is sex in context. Our topic for tonight is the pace of your race. Now, why did I secondarily name it the pace of your race? Because there is a lot of information, a lot of conversation out there that gives you instructions on so many things. And it's nothing wrong with instructions, but here's one of the things I want to make plain to you tonight. Although there are some very explicit instructions, and we're going to get to that, some very explicit instructions, there are some things that are not one size fits all. And because everybody's race is different, we're all at different stages. We all have different processes. Sit down and be quiet. We all have different processes. Then it's necessary for us to understand that and to understand our purpose. Now, a lot of things we're going to discuss tonight, we've kind of hit on this in lots of different broadcasts. So now you can begin to pull all of that together. You have to understand your particular purpose. I'm going to share this with you. I had a man of God asking me some questions about how I eat, about my diet. And I have no problem because there are going to be a whole lot more things I'm going to be sharing with people regarding dieting and health and the wealth of your life based on the position of your health. And so that's a great thing to discuss. It's an important thing to discuss. And God is concerned about that. If he wasn't concerned about that, then one of the primary giftings and the primary resources of being a believer would not be to lay hands on the sick and they recover. So it's important to him that we be well. The thing is that there are lots of different processes. Some people get healed by a miracle. Some people need information that is God-given information to send them in a direction. It comes in different forms. Nonetheless, God is behind it all. So even just like the Bible discusses, there are different administrations of gifts. It's the same way. God deals with us differently in various areas of our life, but there are some practical principles across the board. So to everything, there is a season. You've got to understand that. And I want to refer really quickly because it brings me to remembrance a message that I preached last year, really powerful message. It's on Facebook. I don't necessarily remember the name of the message, but if I come across it before I get off, I'll mention it to you. But it's on my page recently, one of the videos that I did on Periscope. But one of the things that I got out of that, and I jotted down this note just as an extraction that created a whole nother direction tonight. Put your passy in your mouth. A whole nother direction tonight. If you remember your purpose, then you'll work the system of every season that you're in. This is important. If you understand your purpose, then you will work the system of the season that you're in right now. When you're planted, you go through various seasons. So you can't get frustrated when you're just planted about the fact that you're not flourishing yet, because the planting is not the flourishing point. It's just the beginning of the foundation for you to get to the point of flourishing. You can't complain about the harvesting part. You can't complain about the growth part. You're just being planted. So you have to work the systems of every season. And when you're planted, your first planted, God gave me this right before I got on tonight. And I believe this is going to bless somebody. This is a relational dynamic that I believe if you use it, then it'll put you in a wonderful position relationally. First of all, you are planted. After you are planted, then comes the breaking. okay? You're broken open. Now, what is the purpose of this breaking open? It's to begin to release your purpose. So you are planted first. Your purpose is not released until you're in. Oh, God, this is so amazing to me. I love how the Holy Spirit just does these things, because you're not actually. Now, you have your purpose before you're planted. Don't get me wrong, because every seed has the potential and the purpose in it before it's planted. But you're not actually open for your purpose to come forth until you are planted. It's when that seed gets planted in the ground and the shell is broken off of that seed that it begins to be rooted, then it sprouts or shoots off, and then it flourishes, and then it is harvested. This is a process of relationships, and I'm telling you right now, the importance of you being properly planted is everything. I keep saying that in this season, and I really cannot reiterate that enough, that the people that you connect to is going to determine whether you're going to be able to be completely flourishing in your purpose, whether you're going to be able to actually open up and allow your purpose to come through. And that's important. I've lived this already, so I'm telling you this imperatively and without any reservation, that if you are misplanted, if you are planted in a place where you are poorly handled, or, you know, it's just not the right planting. You know, this takes us back to our broadcast where we were talking about connections. Customs, connections, and covenants. Important that you understand that your connections are going to determine some things in your life. So out of context, I want to talk about this because we're talking about sex and context. Out of context makes you have to go back to square one. It always does. Are you listening to what I'm saying? When you're out of context, it always sends you back to the top. Sex and context is so important, and it's not that God is a killjoy or a buzzkill. He's not. He wants you to have sex. He wants you to be married. I got ahead of myself. He wants you to have sex, and he wants you to have lots of it, but he wants you to do it in the context for which he created, because it's in that context that you're going to be able to get all of the benefits and none of the backlash, all of the benefits and none of the punishment, because it's something about when you're doing things out of context that causes punishment. It causes embarrassment. It causes setbacks. It causes all of that. Ask a lot of these men who are connected to the wrong women today and that have child support. Ask them. They'll tell you right now that sex was out of context and it created a catastrophe. Instead of blessing them, it's creating a situation. So out of context makes you have to go back to the top, makes you have to go back to square one. If you look in Luke chapter 15, you'll notice there, even there, can you stop picking my blanket and trying to eat the fur, please? You'll notice even there that the prodigal son, his inheritance is just an immature receipt. Now, it's his right to receive this inheritance. It is his right. It's within his right to receive this inheritance. It's his inheritance. It's his to inherit. His father has provided this for him, but it is out of context. He is too immature to receive this. He's not in the proper mindset. He's not in the proper context to receive the riches, the glory, and all of that of this thing that's been set aside for him. He has a gimme thing. He has a gimme mindset. And when you always know that you're immature when you got a gimme mindset. This is another sidebar that the Holy Ghost is having me share with you right now. That gimme mindset is that I want it now. You know, one of the women of God that's in our fellowship in Kingdom Armies, and that's what Kingdom Ambassadors is connected to, Kingdom Armies, young woman of God, she was talking this week about fast food, and she was talking about relationships, the difference between fast food and a five-star meal or a five-course meal. You have to understand that this is imperative that you get this, because you might get some fast food today, but first of all, it's not going to have any nutritive value for your body. But that five-course meal, that home-cooked meal, that's going to be a different thing. It's going to be from a different place. It's going to have a different value for your life. And so same thing with the relationship. So he's out of context, but that gimme portion, he says, give to me, and I'm going to put there gimme because that's his mindset. Give me the portion of goods that go to me. And this is in Luke chapter 15, verses 12 and 13. I'm just highlighting, I'm paraphrasing, and so you can go to that and look at it to see the actual wording. Give me the portion of goods that belong to me. And the Bible declares that, and not many days, I want you to look at this dynamic, and not many days after that, he goes to a far country. I need you to get this point. This is another really important point tonight. And not many days. I need you to look at this dynamic. Once you get what you want immaturely, you usually run off. You get distant. It doesn't take long. Are you listening to what I'm saying? If we refer to the fall, we can see that clearly. The moment they received of this thing that was outside of what God had already given them. The moment that they began to receive another opinion, when they got a second opinion on God's verdict, then not long after that, the fall, it was over. They were in the wrong position. They were out of place. Their culture had changed because their custom had changed. And when your custom changes, your culture changes. And when your culture changes, then everything around you changes. But your culture is only going to change because of your connection. Are you listening to me? After that happens, then you're out of the place that you were once in, and you're no longer receiving. You're no longer in a position to receive. You're no longer in a position to give anything that you were given before. This goes along with that concept that comes along with the man's mentality when he's getting ready to cheat. It's going outside of the boundaries of where you were once happy, where you were once okay. But see, a lot of this happens because people do things out of context and out of order. Are you hearing me? When you do stuff out of context and out of order, when you're feeding into appetites. I had a conversation with somebody I love in another season, and it's amazing because we're used to getting what we want when we want it, then we think that's the context for life. And sometimes we'll bump into that person that has our number. We'll bump into that person that says, that's not how I'm going to handle this. That's not the direction that I'm going. That's not the direction that I'm headed. That's not what I'm looking for. And I'm going to tell the women right now, you've got to be mindful of jukeboxes, because people will say what you want. They'll say what you want to hear just to get out of you what they need. That jukebox needs a quarter. It needs to be fed. And so as it's being fed, it gives to you what you want to hear. Just another sidebar. Okay, so this is a relationship principle that I just gave you. Now, that word riotous, I want to deal with that for a minute, because this is what he did. Because of his immature position, and y'all know how I love Galatians. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. There is a process for maturity. It goes from the childhood processing, the childhood dialogue, the childhood mindset, childhood behaviors, to adult behaviors. And when you get over into adult behaviors, you're not having tantrums. You're not falling out because you can't get your way. As a matter of fact, you're identifying what your way is and trying to find out if your way is lining up with what God's way of doing things is, because that's the mature son. That's a mature place that's going to lead to pure inheritance, kingdom inheritance. And so that's the place you want to be in. That's the place you want to be in. And so let's talk about this riotous word. It's the word asotos, which means excess and abandoning of all prior behaviors, of all prior information that was given to you for your good, for your betterment. It's an immoral place, immorality, completely given up to dissipation. What is that word, dissipation? You know, when something dissipates, it begins to disappear. It begins, it's like evaporation almost, dissipate. It's a similar process. What are you talking about? It's a similar process. It needs to be diluted. I'll give you that, because y'all know how I feel about dilution. Remember, I was walking down the street that day, and the Holy Spirit said to me, you've been diluted. Well, a lot of times what you don't understand is your connections will dilute you. Why? Because they can't take you full strength. And because they can't handle you full strength, they're going to need to put something in with that. They're going to need to dilute you in order to palate you, in order to participate in your life. They're going to need to dilute you, because full strength, you're too much for them. That version of you is too much. It's a licentious place. That word licentious means sexually unrestrained. So we also know that he was doing a bunch. We have no clue what he wasn't doing, because when you talk about sexually unrestrained, that lends to a whole lot of places and a whole lot of positions. So we talked about that. Excuse me, ma'am. We talked about that when we were talking about Baal Peor, the Lord of the gap, the Lord of the opening, the Lord of the whole. We talked about a lot of that. So you'll find those kinds of behaviors when you are involved in that Baal worship on different levels. Okay. So sexually unrestrained, lewd, going beyond the customary boundaries. And I highlighted that word custom, because the custom of the people of God is a certain custom. It is written in Scripture what our custom is. And because we live in this land, it does not change our custom. The Bible declares that we should not be conformed to this world, that we should not follow the patterns and the behaviors or the customs of the people, but that we are to set the culture. God is sending us before people. He's sending us in the environments and the places that he's sending us to, because he wants us to release the kingdom and the culture to change. I've got like 10 minutes, and she wants to overtop Granny. Don't overtalk me. Let's do this thing. We're almost done, and then we'll watch Lions, okay? Okay, so it's important that we understand that there is a specific custom of God's people, and so I want to talk about this. Everybody wants to be married. This is a note that I made, a sidebar note. Everybody wants to be married. Shh. Hush. Everybody wants to be married. I noticed that in this season. There's nothing wrong with that. We are in a season of divine connection. mergers and marriages. Understand this is God's desire, but it all has a purpose. Remember, to everything, there is a season. To every purpose, get in your playpen. To every purpose under the sun, there's a season, there's a purpose. When that thing talks about seasons, it's talking about something being purposed, and we went over that a little bit already. When you look at this, everybody wanting to be married thing, I'm beginning to question people like, why do you feel like you're ready for that? I got another person that I need to talk to this week, a friend of mine, old friend of mine. He was telling me about this, and he was saying, no, I'm ready, you know, to be married, et cetera, et cetera. So I probably want to call him. I really probably needed to call him before I got on here because, you know, I like having that kind of stuff in my arsenal when I begin to share with you. But I want to say this as well. One of the reasons, and I want to talk to the man for a minute, your first reason to not get married is because you're lonely. That's not a reason, because you can find companionship anywhere. The question is, first of all, what is your purpose? If you understand your purpose, then you'll understand that God has someone purposed for you, because that's what the help meet is. That's what a wife is. She is a suitable helper. She is one that is suited for you. She is one that is created to suit your purpose. And I tell people this all the time. Whatever you give a woman, she's going to multiply it. So she has to have the capacity to hold your vision, to house your vision. Again, this is off the cuff. I promise you, this is good stuff. I'm going to have to go back and listen to this myself. The woman that God desires for you, the woman that Yah has formed for you, because understand the process of the woman that he gave to Adam in the beginning. He took her out of his side. So she was in him. Mankind contained woman and man, and he separated the woman from the man, and then he gave her. He presented her to him. Now, how did he know that this was his woman? Because she came out of him. And when I talk about that thing about coming out of him, you know a thing came out of you because it's something missing in you. And when you do, when you arrive at that place, you already know that this is the thing that's missing. So when he opens his eyes, he has no clue that he's been cut on. He has no clue that anything's been taken out of him. However, he automatically identifies, you are bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Are you listening to me? That's such a prophetic conversation right there. I don't want to try to jump too far into that because that's a prophetic rabbit hole. If I go down that road, we're going to all be in trouble. I'll just be stuck there because I really want to keep this moving. I want you to look at this because everybody wants to be married, but I want to challenge what your process, what your thought process about marriage is. I want to challenge tonight, and I know this is about to be out there for some people. I want to challenge what your definition of marriage is, because God's definition of marriage is sexual intercourse. Oh, boy, it actually is. His definition of marriage is sexual intercourse. Let's go to the woman at the well for a minute. He has a conversation with her, a very prophetic conversation with her that changes her life. What are the dynamics of this conversation? He begins to speak to her and say to her, where is your husband? She says, I don't have one, because she's thinking of it from another perspective. But he says, yes. He says, that is true. He said, and the one that you're with is not your husband either. But he says, you've had many husbands. What is he talking about? Because the father's perspective, the father's creation for marriage, that very that intimate place is what consummates the marriage. It's the very foundation of marriage. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And so this is where we get that concept of a man that sleeps with a harlot, he becomes one with her. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Why? Because he has married her. That oneness is the concept of marriage, that man, for this cause, let's go there, Matthew 19:5, for this cause. I want you to get that in your head. Again, there is a season to every purpose under the sun. There is, for everything, there is a season. So what are we talking about when we look at Matthew 19:5? It says, for this cause, not for any other cause, for this cause, man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Holy Spirit, help me through here. For this cause, this is the reason for a man to leave his family. This is the reason for a man to leave his mother from up under his mother and father. It's to go after the woman, to become one with the woman that God has pulled out of him, that he has identified is the part that's been pulled out of him that is set for his purpose, his divine destiny. Are you listening to me? This is good stuff. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For this cause, not for another cause, not because you're feeling lonely, not because you're horny, not because of any of that. It needs to be for this cause, because you have identified this to be your mate. Now, that word cleave is the word Proscoliso, I believe that's how you pronounce that. Proscoliso. And that word is made up of two different words, pros and kalao, which means to reach, which means it's something that's to reach or to glue or to keep company. And then that other thing, kalis or kalao, kalao is the reach part. Pros means to go before. Now, when we talk about this go before, it sets a standard for what comes first. I said this to somebody. They asked me a question, and it was a really important question. I'm sure it was an important question to them and an important question to me. However, I can't answer that question because you're the one that's supposed to make that first move. You're the one that's supposed to say that. You're the one that's supposed to identify that and then bring that to my attention. And after you brought it to my attention, as I'm led of the Holy Ghost, after you brought that to my attention, then I am to respond, and I'm going to multiply what you've given to me. That is the true essence of a woman, man. She's the womb man, and she's going to multiply. She's going to conceive, and she's going to birth whatever you give her, whatever seed you sow into her. This is some stuff. I need to finish writing my book because this needs to go in the book, grandbaby. She's excited about this word, too. And you know what I'm so ultimately excited about? I'm ultimately excited about the fact that I've been through so many things and I've experienced so many things. And now the wisdom that I have attained in this season is going to bless my grandchildren. It's going to bless the children that I have already that can listen, that can hear this word, because it's going to put them in an uncommon place of prosperity. It's nothing worse than not understanding that when you partnered with someone, your prosperity is either assured or your demise is assured. That's a real place. Are you listening to me? That's a real place. I just took something from her, and she's really having a conversation about it. That's a real place. And so it's important that we understand that reaching and that gluing to and that keeping company, this is why it's important who you keep company with. Who you cleave with is going to direct where you're going, because if you're one, then that means the direction that one is going, the other is going. Are you listening to me? So this denotes a sticking to, a gluing. Also denotes the order of how it should happen. Notice in Isaac and Rebecca's situation. I want to go there really quickly. Isaac and Rebecca's situation, very key. So we know that Abraham, before he dies, he sends his servant to go get his son a wife. He tells him where to go. His servant goes there. He prays. He seeks the Lord on this matter, and he sets the boundaries for how he's going to find Isaac a wife, right? Eliezer, Abraham's servant. He brings Rebecca back, right? Rebecca sees Isaac. She puts the veil over her face. She says, "Who is that?" So she also notices. So there, I want you to understand the myth about there is an order. Now, the man is to find the wife, but I don't want you to be confused about the fact that women can identify when their husband is on the horizon. A woman can identify that. She sees him. She already knows where she's going, but she sees him, and she really kind of knows him already. She says, "Who is that?" Now, I don't doubt that there were other people around, but she notices him. She clues in on him, and she says, "Who is that?" And Eliezer tells her who it is, okay? But it says, "And Isaac took Rebecca into his mother's tent, and then she comforted him." What's the order here? Isaac took her. Isaac loved her. He took her into his mother's tent. Are you hearing me? And then she comforted him. There is a process. There is an order here. She's not trying to seduce him. She's not trying to take him into her tent. She's not trying to do a bunch. He knows who she is. He identifies her. He takes her into his mother's tent. He loves her, and she comforts him. Something is released out of the woman, the very thing that he needed in that moment, because you got to understand in Genesis chapter 24, his mother Sarai had just died. He was in grief. He needed to be comforted. So in the process of Eliezer bringing his wife to him, he loves her when he sees her. He takes her into his mother's tent, and he makes love to her. I know this might be a bit much for a lot of people, but she comforts him. Something in her is released to him that comforts. I want to share this next week as well. I don't know if we're done with this, because there should be no passion without purpose. A lot of people like to excite stuff before it should be excited. I promise you should not wake love until it's time. I got so much more to say, but we're going to end it today. I love you so much. We're going to do part two next week. Until the next time we talk, I want you to know that you're blessed, and don't forget it. And if you need to get in touch with me, you join Kingdom Ambassadors, kingdomambassadors247@gmail.com. Send your email today. We're going somewhere in this season. I love you so much. I honor my mother, who is not on the line with us tonight, but she's the womb that I came from, and I love her so much. And I honor you people of God from all over the world for listening tonight. I also honor my apostle, Apostle Greg J. Davis. We love you today. God bless you in traveling mercies, and preach the word tonight, man of God. We love you, people of God. We'll see you soon. Peace.